Hi everyone, my name is Matt. Well, we had just a great Easter celebration last week, did we not? That was so fun. I actually wish it was Easter every week. Oh wait, except for it is, every day in fact, so that's amazing. We paused last week appropriately for Easter. We paused from the series that we've been doing, and we're going to pick that up again today. Starting at the beginning of Mark's gospel, I want you to notice this emphasis that Jesus places on listening. Jesus, in Mark chapter 4, he begins the famous parable of the sower, and he starts in kind of an interesting way in Mark chapter 4, verse 3. He says, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed," and he goes on and he talks about these four different types of soil the seed lands on, talks about it very briefly. A few verses later, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "We have no idea what you're talking about. We are totally lost. Can you please explain what you mean?" And Jesus then explains what the four types of soil represent, the people that they represent. And then he says in verse 9, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And then at the end, he actually repeats himself again. He says, "If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear." So I just point this out to say that the very first and last words of this parable are "listen and hear." Listen and hear. This whole parable is about learning how people respond to the voice of God, the word of God. And it's spoken early on in Jesus' ministry. This kind of, for Mark, frames his whole gospel. In other words, it's as if Mark is saying, your ability to hear, you're going to receive what I have to say only so far as you can actually hear it, as only so far as you can listen. A few chapters later in Mark chapter 9, Jesus took a few of the disciples up on a mountain where the transfiguration happened. You have these disciples, Peter, James, and John, just stunned as Jesus' clothing changed. He shone like the sun. And then Moses and Elijah appear out of thin air, and they start having this conversation with Jesus. And I don't know, maybe you're new to the Bible, or the people and events and the timeline all kind of blurs together. They're not supposed to be there, okay? They're actually from Moses, 1,500 years before is when he lived. Elijah was like 900 years before Jesus. If you had asked these disciples, you know that icebreaker question, if you could meet anybody in the world from human history, just have coffee, talk, you know, who would it be? Like Moses and Elijah would have been at the top of their list for sure. Soon after Moses and Elijah appear, this dense cloud forms over the mountain and then just settles on the disciples and their heroes. And then after that, here's the point of the whole scene. The disciples hear a voice from heaven say this, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Listen to him. And then in the very next instant, it was over. It was done. Everything went back to normal, and they're just standing there. In fact, the next verse says, in verse 8, it says, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. They're looking around, what happened? And the implication of this is clear. There is no one who is God's son. There is no one who is chosen. There is no one to whom you should be listening to than Jesus. Listen to him. Pay attention to him. And suddenly we realize it's not just the man's teaching, but it's the man himself we're supposed to hear. It's funny to me because they've been following Jesus for like 2 years now, pretty much doing everything he told them to do, and yet at this point, 2 years or so into it, they have to be told to listen to Jesus, to pay attention to him. Jesus says in John chapter 5, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Jesus, of course, is a brilliant teacher. He's an amazing teacher. And when he teaches, he's oftentimes teaching and even acting on multiple levels at once. And that shouldn't be surprising to us. It's why people were always misunderstanding what Jesus was saying. They would take it literally when he was using metaphor. They'd think he was being metaphorical when he's actually being literal. A few weeks ago, we looked at an instance where Jesus healed a blind person. And so at the surface level, what's going on is he's restoring someone's physical sight. But we pointed out how many times these instances occur around the context of people who should know better who Jesus is, people who should kind of be getting it by now, the disciples, even the Pharisees, but they're not understanding, they're not seeing clearly who Jesus is. It's almost like Jesus is saying, I want you to see spiritually what's going on. And so he does these healings as kind of a demonstration of that. And so there are multiple things going on. In this verse, I don't think Jesus is just talking about death, because he says the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. He repeatedly connects our ability to receive life, to live our lives under the rule and the reign of God, to our ability to hear, to our ability to see. Not physically, not literally. He's talking about our ability to hear the voice of God. And so as we grow more and more, hopefully, in the image of Christ, we move from just like asking God for stuff all the time. We move from a relationship with God where it's like just us saying stuff to him, like one-way communication, and we move to a place where we're actually listening to God. I think most of us here would say that we want to hear from God. Would you agree? I mean, if that's like really an option, we want to hear God speak. It would be great if he would speak to us. I don't necessarily mean audibly. I mean, perhaps that happens. I've never heard of that happening. The whole idea of God speaking in an audible voice is a little bit of a mixed bag to begin with. It sounds like it would be incredible, but that would also be pretty intimidating, don't you think? Like, that's an awful lot of accountability if that happens in your life. And besides, if you look at the places in Scripture where God does speak to someone, most of the time, it actually doesn't work out really super great for them. So maybe we don't want that, but we do want to hear from God in some way. We want his direction. We want his guidance. We want to know that we're like making the right decisions, that we're on the right track. We want to know that he hears our prayers, that it's not just us talking to ourselves and that's it. I've noticed these videos popping up online recently where people who are deaf or hearing impaired, I'm actually not sure what the appropriate term for that is, but people who are born unable to hear, under certain conditions, they're actually able to undergo this like surgical procedure, and they receive these cochlear implants, and then they could, it seems like miraculous to me when you see this, and people are able to hear for the very first time. I want to show you just a short clip of a woman who this happened to. I'm not trying to make everybody cry here, sorry. That is truly amazing. I just can't even imagine. See, we long to hear a voice too, a voice from beyond ourselves. We talk a lot as Christians about being in a relationship with God. That kind of implies two-way communication, doesn't it? That we would actually hear from him. And the problem is, most of us can hear physically, but spiritually, that's another story. It's difficult for us to know how to listen to the one voice that we most want to hear, the voice of God. It's kind of hard to hear an inaudible voice, isn't it? You might call it crazy, even. If someone says to you, you're the kind of person who hears voices, that's not a compliment, right? They mean that you hear voices that aren't actually there. But that's where Christians are different. We believe that God is there. We believe that the God who spoke is still speaking today, that he's still present and speaking today. Or even if we're not sure, we want that to be the case. Now, if you're here and you're not a Christian, I realize that might sound kind of strange. Like, really? God speaks? I mean, what does that even look like? And we'll get to that in just a minute. But if you're here and you're not like a Jesus person, you haven't put your faith in Jesus, but you believe in God, like you have some sense that there's a God, and maybe you have a different name for this God, whatever you call him, it, her, force, being, whatever you call this God, it makes sense that if you believe in a God, that the world was created by him, everything in it, and that the God who created the world also, by the way, came up with the idea of communication in the first place. And if that's the case, then it stands to reason that the God who created everything in the world, including communication, he's probably pretty good at it. He's probably pretty capable of communicating very effectively. So the issue is not getting God to communicate. We didn't make up this idea. It's his idea to begin with. He's the best at it. We think sometimes, I don't know that we say this, but sometimes I think we believe deep down because he doesn't communicate like we want him to communicate, like he doesn't do the things we expect him to do, we think he must be terrible at it. He must not be very capable. Or I suppose you could argue this. I suppose you could argue that just because God can communicate with the best of them, that doesn't necessarily mean that he wants to. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to. And I get how you could say that, except for Jesus. Except for Jesus, who came and lived and walked among us and spoke our language. Not necessarily English, but you know what I mean. After Jesus, after God, how could we say, really, that God's not interested in communicating on our terms in ways that we can understand? So God will speak to you. The question is, will you hear him? God will speak to you through a whole variety of avenues. The question is, will you hear him? God is not hesitant or reluctant to speak. The issue is this, and this is what I want to talk about for a minute. Have you put yourself in a position to actually hear him? Have you put yourself in a place where you can really hear what he has to say? You can hear his voice. That's why Jesus repeatedly is teaching, and the crowds are listening, and then he keeps saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. They're all hearing. The crowds are all hearing the same words coming out of Jesus' mouth, but Jesus is saying, unless you have ears to hear my message, you're not really getting it. You can hear his message without really listening, without really hearing it. It's why not everyone heard. Probably every parent on the planet can relate to this. Those times when you say something to your kid and they say, huh? And you, knowing full well they heard you perfectly, you say, what did I just say to you? What did I just say? And then they pause and they kind of look up and then they think for a second and then they proceed to tell you exactly what it is you just told them and exactly what it is they asked you to repeat for them in the first place. They heard without... Does anyone else know what I'm talking about? They heard without really hearing, but the words were in there kind of bouncing around their head somewhere. I did that all the time. I remember that. I remember my parents being frustrated with me for doing that. And of course, now the universe is paying me back as a parent. Anyway, Mark chapter 12. There are some religious leaders who come to Jesus. They're Sadducees, a kind of sect of religious leader. And they come with a trick question. Just a really ridiculous what-if scenario. They're trying to basically disprove the idea of the resurrection. Jesus has been talking about it, and really they think it's just the most out there, ridiculous thing they've ever heard in their whole lives, that like people are going to be raised from the dead. And honestly, for me, if Jesus hadn't done it himself as proof of what's going to happen to us, you know, I'd be more freaked out by it too. But they give Jesus this what-if scenario. They say, Jesus, what if there was a woman who was married to a husband, and her husband died, and in that culture, the rules of that society, if there was a brother of the husband still living, the brother unmarried, the brother would then marry the widow as a way of taking care of her, providing for her, that kind of thing. So, woman's married to a husband, husband dies, he's got a brother, he's actually got seven. She marries the first brother, he dies. She then marries the second brother, he dies. And this pattern repeats itself on and on until she has married all seven of these brothers. So there's the one guy plus his seven brothers. She's married them all. They all die. And it sounds like the setup to a terrible joke, doesn't it? Except for they're not joking. They say, Jesus, they all die, then she dies. Jesus, tell us, whose wife will she be at the resurrection? Yeah, high five. And they're just like, yes, gotcha, you know? They're just so pumped that they got this on Jesus. But here's what's interesting. Jesus, he actually answers their question. He actually gives them a pretty good response. You have to dig into it a little bit, but he answers their question. But they can't hear the answer because they weren't interested in the first place. They were never listening. They were just trying to trick Jesus, to trap him. They had no interest whatsoever in what he was actually going to say. So then right after this, there's another teacher in the audience. And Mark says this teacher hears what Jesus says, he hears Jesus' response, and he realizes, well, that was really thoughtful. That was a really good answer to that. And so this teacher, Mark says, steps up with his own actually genuine question. And he asks Jesus a genuine question. Okay, they're all hearing the same thing. They're all hearing the same words from Jesus, but there's one person who says, ah, I'm really listening. And he's drawn into Jesus. He's intrigued. And Jesus responds to this teacher's question, and they had this dialogue. And then Jesus says to this man, sir, you are not far from the kingdom of God. They were all there, but only one person was listening. Unless we're in a position to hear from God, it doesn't matter what he says. I think that's a really important point. God could speak to you in the flesh. See Jesus, right? And we still might not hear. Whenever Jesus says that phrase, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear, he's actually quoting from the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12 says this, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Physically they can see and hear perfectly fine, but they're far from God. They don't want to hear God because they don't hear God because they don't want to. And here's what he's saying. When you have your back turned to God, when you have God kind of out at an arm's distance, you can't hear him. When you are living in rebellion against God, you are not in a position to really listen, to really hear. And this is where it gets difficult, I think. Many of us have these areas of our lives where we really don't want to hear what he has to say. And we have other things, you know, and probably most things where we want to hear, but, you know, we have these areas where, God, thank you for this food, and please bless us, and God, you know, help this work thing to go well, and give us a safe trip to grandma's house, and, you know, all these things that we pray for, but there are these other areas where it's like, God, I want you to stay out of this. Okay, this is my thing. This is my deal that I've got going. This is what I do. This is what I do to relieve stress, or this is what I kind of have to do, and it's kind of shady, and I don't really want to tell people about it, but it's what I have to do to have an edge in the marketplace. This is the thing that I've got going on, and I just need you to stay out of this. Again, we're not in full-on rebellion against God, but at least not in every area. We have these areas or two that we want God to stay out of. But then you know what happens? Sooner or later, trouble comes. Sooner or later, something happens. We have to make a big decision. God, should I take the job or not? Do we move or not? God, what do I do? You know, yes or no, I need an answer. And we come to God and we're praying and we're asking God, God, please help me get out of this mess. I need your help. I don't want to hear what you have to say about this area, again, of my morality or my ethics, or please don't speak to me about this area of my finances, and definitely don't talk about this area where my pride shows up, but if you could just please speak to this. And guess what, God? I've already done the hard work. I've been thinking about this, and I've thought through the options, and I've kind of done the math, and really, here are the three choices that you have. So could you just please pick one? Which one should I do, A, B, or C? Could you just give me a little bit of advice? Focus in on this. Think about if you did that with another person, by the way, whom you have a relationship with. If you sat down and said, hey, let's have a conversation, but here's what I want you to talk about. This is the limit of what the conversation can be about. So as long as you stay in those boundaries, we're good. Go ahead and talk. I'm listening. And that would be terrible, wouldn't it? This is what we do. I mean, think how much more. This is what we do to like a living, sovereign God who is king. We think God's like this vending machine. We pump a few quarters in, right? We send up a few prayers, and then God's going to cooperate with our multiple choice questions. He's not like a magic 8-ball. Jesus teaches us very clearly how to get into a position to hear God. Because again, it doesn't matter how God speaks. It doesn't matter how many ways he speaks. If we're not in a position to hear it, we miss it entirely. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says this is to be the pattern of your prayers. This right here, your kingdom come, your will be done, is to be the position, the attitude, the posture of your heart and mind when you come to God in prayer asking for stuff. And if we're willing to start there, if we're willing to begin there, then God can begin to speak. And we can begin to be in a position to hear what he has to say. It's praying, God, I want your will to be done in every area of my life. And so before I even start asking for stuff, before I begin to tell you, you know, here's what I kind of want you to do, how I'm hoping things work out, before you do any of that, you say, God, my answer is yes. It's yes. My answer right now from the beginning is an unqualified yes. And I know that maybe depending on your tradition, perhaps you've prayed this prayer, a thousand times in your life, but if you don't really mean it, if it doesn't really represent your attitude in praying and being open to God, then it doesn't mean anything. So, all that to say, when it comes to hearing God, we have to start there. And if we could get that down, if we could come to a place where we were genuinely open and surrendered and really able to hear what he has to say, then the rest, compared to that, I would say is easy. The rest is much easier. According to Christians, tradition, experience, historically, there are several ways that God speaks today. Several avenues through which God communicates. And I just want to walk through a few of the main ones. And many of you will probably resonate, you'll relate to some of these. But all of these presume that we're in a place where we can hear, right? And all of them are pointless if we're not. We believe that God speaks through Scripture. Because God's Word is living and active, if we will come to God's Word open, willing to listen, willing to hear, we believe God will speak through that. And maybe you've had a time. Maybe you can point to a time in your life when you were reading something and you felt like, man, God just spoke to me through his word. You're reading along a verse and maybe you weren't even looking for anything and then you hit that one verse and it was like, that is exactly what I needed to hear. People, by the way, this is more often than not about just creating space to listen. And here's what I mean. People will sometimes come to me and say, hey, Matt, do you have any, any commentaries or books basically that I can get out of Scripture what you seem to be getting out of it? And my answer is always, no. I mean, yes, but not really what you're looking for. This is kind of a little secret, I guess. I don't know why I'm giving it away. But I'll tell you, I'm not doing anything magical here. Here's the reason that sometimes you'll come to church and be like, well, I read that same passage before and I didn't get that. Or you'll leave, it could be somewhere else or listening to some other sermon or teaching or whatever. And I'm not getting that out of when I read the Bible. And what's the difference? There's nothing magical going on. I don't have some special revelation or insight. You know what's happening? And again, this is a secret I'm going to regret giving away. You're in a place to listen. You've come in and you're sitting down and we've through worship, through singing and prayer, and we get to the Scripture. You actually settled yourself into a place where you can hear God's word. That's it. Because see what happens at home is you sit down to read and 30 seconds into it, you remember you have to clean the gutters. And so then you hurry up and rush through it and then you get up and go so you can do your to-do list. And you wonder why isn't God speaking to me through Scripture? It's about creating space. Just creating it. And this is proof. For those of you who've had that happen, this is proof that God will do that if we'll give him room to speak. We believe that God will speak oftentimes through nature. We've probably all experienced this at times. And then this time of year especially, when the sun is out and it's getting warm and all of a sudden we're like, there may be a God after all. And I'm being facetious, but only partly. I heard a story a couple weeks ago from a person, and I can't really share the story. But she had a very, very unique and profound experience of God speaking to her in an incredibly kind of undeniable way, giving her direction through something essentially in nature. We believe God speaks through other people. You've had that where somebody will come to you and just say something that you needed to hear, right? I've been wrestling with something for several weeks now and just kind of obsessing over it, and I can't quite get focus. And I was telling Cliff, who normally leads worship here, I was telling him about it last week, and he just kind of listening. And in the course of that conversation, he said one sentence, literally one sentence. And as soon as he said it, I was like, that's it. And he didn't even know he said it, but it was like, thank you, God. I mean, I had times before that I'm sitting in my car going, God, what do I do with this? How do I resolve this? And I'm talking to Cliff, and in one sentence, I just realized that's it. That's it. That's it. That's my answer. I felt like God spoke to me in that minute, in that moment, and it was resolved. God often speaks through other people. And the Old Testament prophets would confirm that. Now, the whole people coming up to you and saying, God told me to tell you, Just real quick, I don't even want to get like super theological about this, and I don't want to like offend people, but you know, that happens to me. I think from time to time, I think being a pastor, I sort of, it attracts that kind of thing. And I'll say this, when it's somebody that I know and I trust, okay, that's one thing, but it's usually not those people. It's usually strangers with like a wild, crazy look in their eye. And if it's something general or encouraging or sort of, a lot of times it's real vague, and I'm not, okay, thank you, that's encouraging. You know, that's great. And there have been times when it has been encouraging. But if it's like some specific thing that has actual consequences and like impacts other people and real decision-making goes into this, I just say, thank you. And then in my head, I think, God's going to have to tell me that, or there's no way. You know what I mean? Like if tomorrow I get a fortune cookie that says the same exact thing, then we'll talk. But until then, thank you very much. God speaks through our circumstances. He works in those. When Liz and I graduated college, we got married. We ended up in Muncie largely because of God working in circumstances, what we perceived God to be opening doors here and closing doors with our other options. A lot of times this will coincide with what you're praying and the scripture that you're reading and the counsel you're getting from other people. And then something happens, and it just we sense God guiding us, speaking to us. God speaks through our conscience. Aren't there times when your conscience just rises up and goes, uh-uh, don't you do it? And it's usually like a whisper, but don't you go after that. Don't take that. Don't go down that path. It's our conscience. It's something that God speaks through. Many times it's an inner tension we feel over a decision. When I was in college, I spent a summer in Ecuador with these missionaries. I was teaching English, and one of my first days there, we had to go to the capital city, and it took forever to get there, and we spent the whole day in these cabs going around, and it was like this bureaucratic nightmare. We finally end up at the right building. We go up to like the, you know, 15th floor of this building or whatever, wait in a lobby, and then go in another place, wait there, finally get into an office, and I'm kind of like just brand new there. I'm with this missionary leader. I don't even know what's going on, and I'm just following him around, and we finally sit down in the office, and the missionary guy pays this other guy like $60 or something relatively small, and I find out that he was paying like the licensing fee for some kind of software they had back at their English school, and he's just paying like the software still works. He still had it. It would still work, but he went through all that trouble to show up, to go, you know, to basically pay this annual licensing fee. And I don't remember what I said to him. I didn't say, this is dumb. Something like, man, this is a lot of effort. This is like a whole day just to pay this. And he said to me, and I'll never forget this, and I probably could have learned this lesson without going to South America, but anyway, he said to me, how can I expect God to bless our work if we're stealing? And that phrase, how can I expect God to bless us, with something that seemed pretty small, nobody would have noticed if he hadn't gone through that effort. I can't tell you how many times in the last several years that thought comes up to me. And how can I expect God to bless me if I'm going to cut this corner? I'm going to cheat here. How can I expect him to bless me? So that's God speaking through our conscience. He speaks through wisdom, which is universally available. In the Old Testament, wisdom is often personified as a woman crying out in the streets for people to listen to her. There's wisdom from Scripture. There's wisdom from other people. Wisdom from common sense. And then God speaks through the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit sometimes moves inside a believer. It kind of feels to us at the time like it might be conscience, but it's actually deeper than conscience. It's something else, because conscience is this right or wrong? And that's most of the time fairly clear. The Holy Spirit, it's a little bit deeper than that. The Holy Spirit is more like, hey, go over there and start a conversation. See what happens. It's like this internal nudging, this internal prompt. And of course, when the Holy Spirit speaks, he's not like a threatening parent. Do you know what I mean by that? I told you, I'm going to count 1, 2, you know, 2.5. That's not how the Holy Spirit speaks. That's not how the Holy Spirit guides us. When the Holy Spirit speaks, it's a lot more like this. That was it. That was the whole thing. Just a nudge, a prompt. And he will let you win the argument every single time. You'll win that argument. There'll be no fight, no resistance. You'll win, I'll tell you right now, every time. All these ways, all these avenues through which God can speak. Him communicating to us is not the problem. The issue is not, is God speaking? Can God speak? God can and does and is speaking. The question is, are you in a position to really hear? Have you come to a place where you're able to say with, in every area of your life, not just most, in every area, God, your will be done. You are Lord. You are King. I want what you want because I recognize that's ultimately best for me anyway. Why would I resist that? Why would I get in your way? My answer is yes before I even ask the question. See, if we're not there, otherwise, we're just asking for God's stuff. We're asking him to meet us on our agenda, with our language, on our time frame. We end up in a place where we want God to speak, but we can only hear him speak about subjects that we ourselves are interested in, that are on our minds. See, I think many believers never really move past asking God to listening to him. When we ask, when all we're doing is asking one-way communication, our minds are busy, they're running, they're active. When we listen, our minds become open. Actually open to new ideas, new direction. When we ask, we want to know something specific, and so we're thinking about, we kind of confine God to this one specific area. When we listen, we just want to know what God wants to tell us. When we ask, we want God to give us very clear, practical next steps. Is it A, B, or C, left or right? Should I buy the red one or the black one? Should we get married in June or July? We want God to say something very, very specific, and we get patient when we have to wait, impatient when we have to wait. But when we listen, we're not in control of the one who's talking, God. So we're more patient, we're more open to ambiguity. Do you realize when we're just asking, when just us asking God for stuff, our interest in the one speaking, our interest in God himself actually becomes peripheral. It actually becomes secondary. We're interested in him only because it'll get us to know like the answers or to figure out the will or to figure out the direction. But when we really listen, we value the one talking. We value God himself, the one we're in relationship with. David says in Psalm 46:10, "Be still and know that I am God." This means that if we want to hear from God, we have to get recentered. By that I mean putting him at the center, surrendering ourselves to him. When this happens, we begin to listen when God is actually speaking, instead of just speaking whenever we feel like listening. The question of what does God want me to do, this or that, yes or no, it broadens a bit. We instead begin to listen for what God wants us to become. The prayer of, God, could you please give me a sign? And there may be a time for that. We begin to realize that more often than not, God is wanting to develop us. He wants us to develop discernment and wisdom and to be able to think, to have his mind, to discern for ourselves, to be more like him. Instead of praying, God, please make my decisions more successful, we begin to be more interested in allowing him to make us different, to set us apart, to become more like him in all of our decisions. Instead of, when we begin to listen more, to put him at center, instead of informing God of our plans and saying, God, could you please, you know, focus down here on this for just a second, look here. Instead of doing that, we become much more aware of engaging ourselves where he's already moving around us. Jesus says, my sheep know and listen to my voice. They know my voice. Learn how to come toward me. Learn how to hear what I'm saying. Would you stand? We'll pray together. Lord, that is our prayer this morning. Lord, many of us here, maybe most of us, we would confess that we want to hear you speak. We want to know that we're not alone. We want to know that this relationship it goes both ways. It's a two-way relationship. We talk, but we also hear you talk. We hear you speak to us. Lord, help us to examine our hearts in this moment, in this coming week. Lord, if there's anything that's keeping us from hearing you more clearly. If there's any way that we're trying to limit the way that you speak, the areas in which you speak to us, Lord, help us to surrender that to you, to say our answer is yes to you. Your will be done. On earth, in our lives, in our relationships, your will be done in every area. Lord, thank you for communicating with us. Thank you for making yourself known. And Lord, I pray that as we grow in our surrender, that we would grow in our ability to hear you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's so great worshiping with you this morning. As you go in the grace and peace of the risen Jesus. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.